Welcome back, everybody. It's your time to ed up on the EdUp Experience podcast, where we make education your business. Still podcasting strong. I've had just a grande double shot of espresso coffee, so mouth is moving. Record button is on. We've got three amazing guests. I swear I've had three or more guests, I feel like, on every episode, which makes it very interesting and fun, but it makes the intros long. But these intros are particularly important. Where are we? Well, of course, we're at Ellucian. Thank you for asking. We're at Ellucian Live here in San Antonio, Texas for the third straight year. The EdUp Experience is here podcasting with trailblazing leaders in and around higher education. As I said, I have three with me. One returning guest. Let's get her in first. She is Rupa Saran. She is CIO at Coast Community College District. Almost messed that up. How are you, Rupa?
I'm doing well, Joe. Good to be back.
Back for year two. We didn't get you the first year, but we got year two, and now year three, right?
Yes.
And things are still going good?
Things are going good, and so far, eLive is really great, so having a wonderful time.
Good.
Good to be here.
All right, well, we're going to talk more. We're going to get our second guest in here, a fellow Italian. Ladies and gentlemen, she is Anna, right?
Anne
Pacione, CIO.
Very good.
At St. John's University. I couldn't read my own writing, so it was A-N-N-E or A-N-A.
But don't do Annie. Anne.
Oh, yeah, Anne. Got it. How are you?
I'm good.
And how are things so far?
Good. Happy to join my colleague and friend, Rupa. Bringing around the women power here.
There is a lot of women power around me in this moment, so I'm just going to ask one question and get off the microphone. And my third guest, here she is, ladies and gentlemen, Emily Gordon. She's the director of the Ellucian Collaboration Hub. Emily.
Hello. Thank you for including me.
Emily jumped in last minute. No prep on the mic. Are you ready?
No pressure.
One thing I didn't mention to you all, Rupa, you may know this, is that I do use in-episode sound effects.
That's a fact.
So those will go off in and around you when we start talking. But let's first just level set for the audience as we're here. Rupa, you start. Tell us about the Community College District. Where are you? What do you do? How do you do it? And then we'll go to St. John's to talk about St. John's.
Sure. So as you said, I'm with Coast Community College District, and we're located in beautiful, sunny Southern California. We're comprised of three colleges, Orange Coast College, Golden West College, and Coastline College. We have about, headcount, about 50,000 students.
Amazing!
It's a lot.
Yeah, it is. But it's really great, and I love our district. I love what I do for our three colleges, and bringing the technology for our students in the classroom is just my passion.
We're going to talk in a minute, but it has been a heck of a year since we last spoke last year. 2023 with AI, and this job of a CIO is just rapidly changing. So what a difference a year makes, like they say that, right? And it's true, isn't it?
It is, and there's a lot about talk about AI. Last year, it was more of a, oh my gosh, we don't want to do anything with AI.
Yikes!
Yeah. But now, even our faculty members, they're talking about it. They're taking into their Senate and say, okay, what can we do? Let's learn. The awareness is coming. So I think that's a huge progress there. So,
yeah.
But we'll continue on that.
All right, Anne, tell us about St. John's University for someone that doesn't know where St. John's University is and what you do.
Well, St. John's, New York City, so other end. You know, very busy, lively, as you expect, CIO there. And 17,000 students. A lot of technology innovation, doing a lot, like you said, AI, just kind of came head on, trying to navigate that and try to see what the faculty want to do, see what our administrators want to do. So yeah, like you said, CIO, good or bad,
tough job,
you know.
Tell us, Emily, about the Ellucian Collaboration Hub and why, what is that about? Tell us about that crazy business.
By the way, we wouldn't have been here without Emily. She
you were like, Emily, sit down and podcast with us.
Could you let us here?
Yes,
thank you. So I work for the Ellucian, well, my title is Ellucian Collaboration Hub, the director of that. And I work specifically for the California Community Colleges, and I help them with their modernization efforts. And so I get to work with Rupa, and I get to work with other EAC members.
And the EAC is?
The Executive Advisory Committee to the Ellucian.
And both of these ladies are on the EAC advising Ellucian on what best practices, what to see in the future, how are users, is that what it is?
Yes. I think all that and more.
Yeah. We're connecting two coasts here, right? We share, like, what are you doing in California? What are you doing in New York?
Right.
You know, what I like about this, two of you right now, because we always talk about a lack of women in STEM, right? If you go back down to the pipeline in higher ed, there's a lack of women in STEM. There's a lot of money being invested to bring women up through STEM careers. Two female CIOs in the craziest time to be a CIO. What's it like to be, first of all, woman in technology leadership, but secondarily to deal with the problems of today, which are evolving literally day by day? Why don't you go ahead first, Dan?
I mean, you just need to be strong, right? And courage. Certainly, sometimes you'll be the only woman in the room. Sometimes there's other women around you. I think, talking to the faculty, one of the deans came to me and said, "Do you understand your position and your importance?" And so sometimes beyond what we're doing day to day, we also have to realize that our students are the future. And so how do we become examples for these young females coming up majoring in very technical majors? And they may be few and far between, but then they see, hey, there's a woman who's leading technology at the university that I go to. So kind of keeping that in mind and being able to give back in that way, which is different from the day-to-day job.
Yeah. Rupa?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, for me, being bold and just be you, right? And yes, people talk about women in technology, but for me, it's like when I'm in the room, I don't pay attention male or female. It's I'm here because I'm competent, my skill sets.
Yeah, you've got knowledge. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. But also, we want to promote women in technology. So one of the things, actually, I'm going to mention Ellucian, is in California Community Colleges, we have an association called Chief Information Systems Officers Association. I'm the current president there now for our board. And we conduct these certification programs for CTO certification programs. And there is a scholarship that we're working with Ellucian for a few years now. So even this year, we got two scholarships for women in tech for this
victory.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you, Ellucian. We have two women that getting that scholarship. And same thing, even in our department, I have kind of, again, leading woman technologist. We brought in a lot more. 10 years ago, what my department looked like and what it's looking like today, we have a lot more females. We got new developers, and it's just great to see that and encourage them to just keep moving up. And whatever mentorship I can give, I continue to do that.
Yeah, I think it's the assets. Like once you're capable, once you have the courage, you're authentic.
Yep.
Doesn't matter, right? Like if you're a leader, you're a leader.
Exactly.
And you have to have that presence and walk in and say, I'm the expert in the room and you're going to, hear what I have to say and change that dialogue.
Yeah. Epic. Yeah.
And I just think being around strong women like yourselves, you're inspiring. You don't even realize that you're mentoring me at the same time.
Oh, Emily.
And then I pass that down, to any young women that are coming in IT as well. And I did that working in higher ed before I came to Ellucian.
You worked in an institution?
I did. I worked in two institutions. I worked at Stanford, and then I worked at University of California, Riverside.
What did you do? Were you in the tech?
I was in the tech. So I oversaw all the customer-facing opportunities, help desk, endpoint, things like that.
Yeah.
And so I got to train our students. Our students would come, and I had a student department, and so I utilized them, and I mentored them. And fortunately, I was able to hire at least 6 women in IT to start their careers. So
amazing.
I'm really proud of that.
So actually, that plays right. We just got out of the executive session, right, with Sydney from Vanderbilt. Just do a quick shout-out.
Yeah.
This is what we're talking about is kind of developing, right,
exactly,
that learning culture and learning organization. So, you start somewhere, and you have your goals and aspirations, and how do you get there, and how do you propagate that.
Absolutely.
Your jobs are not easy, as we said. You're dealing with a lot right now. Generative AI is on every... Let me re-ask that, because I start down this path and I ask about the hard parts of the job. We know about those. We know that generative AI is disrupting lots of jobs. You have to put ethical considerations around it. You've got to build things into catalogs and policies, mm-hmm, and security. But there's also the other stuff that you were doing before that you still have to do,
yeah,
right? And so
yeah,
somebody goes, well, what are you doing with generative AI? And you want to go, well, we're doing some things with that, but we're also like doing the normal things like protecting data and making sure the website's not hacked and helping somebody turn on their computer when they can't figure out what's wrong. How do you balance all of the demands right now on your jobs?
It's hard. I think, at least for me, I carve it out. There has to be folks within your organization that worry about the new stuff, and that there are folks that are worrying about, okay, how do I support this other stuff, right? So someone who's like looking at AI, and because AI has two pieces to it, right? It's okay, the scary stuff that everybody's worried about, but then it's
yikes.
Yeah, but then it's
Skynet, right? Yeah. When you immediately go to Skynet from Terminator, but
right.
It's not that way yet.
Right,
at least yet.
But if you don't look at what the innovation side is, you're going to be behind. So you have to sort of balance that. So you need to look at organizational layout, which is a huge part of it. How do you have part of your organization focused on the new stuff, the emerging technologies, mm-hmm. the strategy? You can't lose sight of that. And then how do you kind of balance that with your operations end of it?
Yeah, and for us, the way I have it, the teams are structured. We have a team, a group that is innovation piece, right? And then we have a sustainment, then we have a cybersecurity, yep. then we have apps. So they all have their own responsibilities, but the innovation group, yes, we're not like, you know, private innovative group like that, but right. still for colleges, we do need that. So yep. if how do we bring in any kind of new apps? Because if you think about it, everything has some kind of AI component already.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, it's exploding right now, and it's because we got so much compute power and we could actually do something with generative AI. But we already had this. It's been there, but it's yeah. exploding. So it's more of awareness and bringing people into what is happening, and then having that team that going out and kind of trying to figure out how do we bring that in. That's how I'm balancing, but also attending all these things, talking to our colleagues. What are you doing?
Yep.
How are you bringing?
That's the collaboration hub piece, isn't it? Like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
And how can we bridge the gap together? Yes,
yeah.
exactly.
Because if we can't innovate, if like a higher ed institution can't innovate, then where are you innovating?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not happening. A corporate has more structure.
Right.
You have to not lose that structure, although sometimes we feel like we are, but you have to have that, because this is the green ground, right? And then you talk about the students coming in. It's a prime way of getting things from AI and solutions and coming up through the students out into the real world.
You know what I find to be really fascinating about AI right now? Because anybody who's, you take a general user who is exploring, right? Not building programs or mm-hmm. integrating programs. I'm a faculty member. I'm a staff member. And somebody says, have you checked out Barely AI? Have you checked out Turbo Learn? Have you checked out GPT? Have you used it yet? Claude, whatever. And you go, you know what? I'm going to take this list of student data. I'm going to stick it in Claude and ask it to summarize
the
data.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Right? But isn't that just something you lose sleep over? Like, you know, I'm going to take my company's, you know, 990 that audited financials and hasn't been released yet and stick it in a ChatGPT and ask it to summarize it for me.
That's where the awareness and the training has to happen, right? You cannot take your data and push it out there. But I think a lot of us are already thinking, rather than open AI, how do we build closed AI engine? Like for us, community college system, what can we do? It's only our own data, right? But even then,
an LLM model that's proprietary
correct.
To you,
yeah.
where
correct.
You could search your own company's data
correct.
And ask it.
Correct. So those are the conversation taking place for us. Even here yesterday, I think with Elucin, I think I was talking with Mike Wolf. I was asking, okay, what do you have in the back end with AI? So every company is bringing some kind of a component in AI, and I think unknowingly we're all using it already.
Yeah, I mean, this is where the CIO role. I mean, let's be clear. Like, we lose sleep over a lot of stuff.
I bet you do.
Not just
you
that.
You seem very awake, though. So it's coffee, right?
Yeah, lots of coffee. You know, energy drinks. I don't know. But this is where the CIO role is changing, right? We can't be so focused on operations, like you said, we're responsible for it. But we have to be the visionaries. We have to be the strategists.
Right.
We have to be thinking about that and figuring out how do we promote that in an institution. We have to be the ones to say nope. We need to invest and build this closed model
yeah.
because we want to promote the use of it, but we can't have this risk. And so there's the job is very different. You know, like the CIO name is very old, but we're really these like technology officers, these transformational people.
You make a good point. CIO is a very old term. When I think CIO, I think, okay, I'm stabilizing operations. I'm making data move
center.
The right way. Data center, on-prem, you know.
Yeah.
You're really talking about, you know, it's like a CTT, a Chief Technology and Transformation Officer, like a CTTO
or
something.
That's a good name. Can we
like that? We like that. Let's go with that.
I might trademark it and charge you.
I think that'll be okay.
Yeah, I'm going to send this to my boss and be like, can I change my title?
Right? Come on now. I mean, but it is, you have to have, you know, if you think about a CIO of the past, it was, how do I come in and make everything within my ecosystem work right? You still have to do that, but you have to have eyes on the future.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Everybody's eyes have to be on the future. And it's hard to have your eyes looking different ways all the time, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you have to have great people around you and great teams around you, but you both and all of the others that you work with and Lucian works with
has to support us.
Yeah, and you have to experiment. You have to know what's coming.
You can't just wait for it, right?
We
have to know what's coming. We have to have the vision. We have to have the strategic plans. We have to make sure it's tied to what the institution is doing.
Yeah.
And just kind of always looking forward. It's a very much an external facing job as we sit here. You know?
It went from internal to external in a lot of ways. The last couple of years.
And I think this is where even our colleagues, CIOs, CTOs, right? A lot of us, like, we are already on that page. Like, yeah, our is vision strategy. It's not about hands-on anything, but there's still some has this, like, I'm a technologist, I want to be hands-on, but that's not our job.
Yeah.
Our job is to know the future, what is coming, and how do we get there, or how do we protect ourselves from that, right?
And I think part of that, like, so Rupa and I are both on this journey. This is where Lucian kind of comes in. Their new offerings, going to SaaS.
Yeah.
We don't want to be in the data center anymore. We have to take some of those big headaches and trust our vendors and move them there. And there's risk along that way, but that's what we need to do.
The greatest risk is not taking the risk or convincing other people within the institution to release some level of control that you have over, I have this, or I know this process, or I can't, if you move it over here, it changes this and it changes that and I can't do my job. It's like, well, your job is to serve the students in the first place.
Let's
get you out of the technology piece, right?
We can't advance and move forward and take advantage of doing those things if we're stuck supporting the old legacy platforms.
And what's important for our institutions is it's incremental change, right? And this transformation for us, it has been happening, knowing or unknowing, but for me, I knew it's my strategic plan. But yes, going to SaaS, any applications, forget about Ellucian, anything you get these days, everything is SaaS, subscription-based. And we recently went from data center to went to the cloud for all our servers in Azure now, right? So it's not just doing, but what is also important is making sure that you are sharing this with your constituent groups, bringing their awareness, letting them know, hey, we have started the journey, this is where we're at, so that they're also, they know what is happening rather than not knowing and making assumptions. So I think that's important for us to share too.
Yeah, and I think like we in IT are used to change. It's how we live. This is our challenge, particularly at St. John's, is the business units are not necessarily used to this level of change or this level of difference that's coming at them right now. And so,
when you think St. John's, because I'm a Big East guy, I grew up in Syracuse, you think old, Catholic, traditional, probably have people that have been there for 45 years.
100%.
And you go, okay, it's time to change. Yeah. I'm not changing. I'm not going to put this in my class. You can't touch my stuff.
Somebody had a great line, I'm going to quote them, is they're emotionally attached to their processes.
Yes.
Yeah. Somebody said that was like, oh, that is the quote of the day.
Yeah, and with the community college system, it's a little bit different because you have a lot of adjunct faculty. Mm-hmm. You have sometimes different student types, a little bit more agile in some ways, but it's these both types of institutions that need to succeed because I'm tired of hearing about closures in higher ed. Like, we have to continue to change and repackage the value of what we do. And we need everybody to change along with us. You can't have half the people running one way and half wanting to stand still. It doesn't work.
Well, standing still will put you out of business. I mean, it's like, so I think in general, regardless of even the profile institutions, higher ed thought the brick walls were there. We're impermeable to change. We don't have to change. There's always a need for a brick and mortar classroom.
Yeah.
And that's how students are going to learn.
Yeah.
And that's not true.
And what we have to realize, our students, they are digital native.
Yes.
And this is their expectation.
3 second swipes.
Exactly.
It's what they do in K through 12. They come to our institutions.
Yeah.
And they feel grown up like that.
Yeah.
I mean, like, where?
They already have it. And if we are not providing, they're going to go somewhere else.
Well, you know, I work in an institution myself, and I know some of the freshmen coming in, they have like this expectation of AI tool sets.
Exactly.
Like, I've got 3 tools I used in high school. I'm going to keep using them. Do you support these? Like, the whole conversation has shifted around student expectations for technology. It's a crazy world that we live in right now, but fun.
Yeah.
Maybe for anybody that's not a CIO, it's super fun. CIO, no, it's fun for CIOs too. But you guys have so much stress. What are others saying about the tough parts of the job right now, Emily, in the collaboration hub?
Well, I think that what we do is we look at outcomes. What outcomes are you trying to achieve? And then how can I support them to achieve those outcomes? And so maybe how you got there before is not how you're going to get there tomorrow, but we're going to get the same result. And so that's where we come in to really try to support the institutions is, you know, we might have to change, do a little bit of change management, but we're going to get there in the end, and we're going to get there, and we're going to get there achieving the outcomes that we set out to do.
You know, one thing I wanted to add, like Emily and Anne too, they have younger children, right? And they're growing up with this technology. And like you said, Joe, it's like swipe or whatever it is. And so at your household, you're seeing this. And we're in the institution. We must prepare for this.
Now, Rupa, when you looked at both the ladies here and you said they have young kids and you looked at me, do I look too old to have young kids? Is that why you didn't include me in that?
I did not know, Joseph.
You just didn't know.
I
have a 9-year-old and a 6-year-old, so I'm also right there.
My apologies. So you can share your thoughts, too.
Gray hair aside, Rupa, we'll chat later about how I used to dye my hair and I don't anymore.
I will say this, though, because I'll make you feel better, Joe. I'd say one thing you talk about, so I have a son, is, you know, that's the other piece of it. For him to grow up to see that his mom, a woman, could be in this position, you know, to see a successful mother as well as a father. But I think that as these kids are growing up, right, they want to see that both parents can be successful.
I love it. I love it. Well, anything you want to say about the collaboration hub that hasn't been said, plug.
Just that I am here and I'm here to serve our institutions and in any way, which way that I can. I'm always looking for opportunities that maybe I haven't thought about. And so I'm always looking for feedback from the institution. So if you have any, please give me some.
Any last words, Rupa, Anne, anything you want to say about your institution or Lucien, your time here, what you expect? Are you having fun? Anything at all?
No, I think for our institution, students are doing, you know, we want more students to join us at Coast District. We really have 3 colleges with different unique programs. But as far as EAC, we really enjoy EAC because I feel that Lucien's exec team do listen and then try 100%. To make those changes. Yeah, and they do want, coming from Laura, right? She wants to hear it, and she always say, she appreciates all our input. So happy to serve on that.
And that's Laura Ipsen, CEO of Lucien, my buddy.
Correct.
Shout out to Laura.
Yeah. No, this is the most fun part of the conference so far.
Yeah.
Oh, here's your $10, and here's your $10.
It was $20.
Oh,
price went up.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been another amazing episode here at Lucien Live 2024 in San Antonio. You know what you have to... Well, I can't outro you. I got to outro you. I was going to do my outro, but I have Rupa Saran, I have Anne Paccione, and I have Emily Gordon with me. If you want to know what they do, you got to listen to the entire episode so you hear the beginning. You know what you've done. You've just ed-upped